is a professor emeritus of history and former director of the Institute of Irish Studies at Fordham University. He is the author of several books, including Hilary Belloc, Edwardian Radical, 1978, Kevin O'Higgins, Builder of the Irish State, and among others, 21st Century Ireland, A View from America. Today we go to County Kerry and we go to our friend again, John McCarthy. John, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian. I'm delighted to talk to you again.
Okay, I mentioned earlier, as we started this morning, Ireland is glued to the watching the royal wedding, which took place this morning. But if you were to watch television here, you'd think it's going to go on for the weekend. A very popular, indeed, event, as we might imagine. It is considered, John, and I'd like to get your own opinion on it, it's non-political in the sense that the royal wedding is considered to be a great celebration, and I would say that this one in particular, because of the American bride, who is now married to Prince Harry, that in fact is celebrated for the event that it is supposed to be a very significant occasion.
I would think so. A lot of people in Ireland were very interested in it, not for any political reasons, but just the whole social thing, the significance of the ceremony. And then also there's a certain amount of intrigue in Ireland because there's speculation that the newlyweds might, in the not-too-distant future, make a trip to Kerry and visit, and particularly that section of the Lakes of Killarney, which the great-great-great-grandmother Victoria visited over a century ago, and from whom the place became known as the Lady's View.
Let me just ask you, as an historian, what was the reception like when she did visit Kerry? What was the political scene like in Ireland at that time?
Oh, my God, yeah, now we're talking about the 1870s. It had been after the Fenian Rising. I would imagine, I can't imagine there being great popular enthusiasm, but on the other hand, there probably wasn't any vehement opposition either. Obviously, you had no televisions or anything like that.
Right.
A lot of people probably weren't even aware she was there.
Yeah, before or after, it wasn't an issue. An issue, John McCarthy and a professor, historian, is that you, in the midst of what is a very contentious issue and a vote, which is coming up next Friday, when Ireland might well become the first country to introduce abortion by popular vote. The most striking report is your own. As the Irish pro-lifers campaign to keep abortion illegal, it has indeed created a stir on both sides of the Atlantic. You might start by telling us about that vote in 1983 in Ireland. Now,
certainly the 1983 vote, which prohibited abortion, was an Irish response to the advancement of abortion in a lot of other countries, Britain and many European countries, and then especially the United States, the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973. and many Irish were fearful that the Irish courts, which, like the American courts, have the ability to declare legislation unconstitutional, that they might overturn legislation against abortion. So it was in order to prevent that from happening, the Irish overwhelmingly endorsed what's called the Eighth Amendment, which guarantees the right to life of the unborn, and with due respect to the equal life of the mother, guarantees in its laws to respect and, as far as practical, to defend and vindicate that right. Well, things have changed a bit since then. A lot of pressure has been developing, especially in the media, many in the university, among what some would call the chattering classes or the politically correct, to advance abortion in Ireland. And this looks like a time which they're very confident they'll get it through. Now, one of the things that has helped them has been a new way in which they've advanced referenda in Ireland. They, rather than just let the Dáil compose a referendum and then vote on it, they've established citizens' assemblies. Now, the assemblies are not selected by the voters, but they're picked by a professional poll-taking group, and supposedly it gets random citizens, but they are reflective of the Irish population, and that group, over a period of several months, hears testimony from various experts. Most of the experts, I think, in this case, were favorable to abortion, although they did hear the other side as well. And then the assembly's recommendations are forwarded to the Dáil, whose members now can just say, we're following the experts. We don't have to think about it. We're just going to follow the experts. And then it's then passed on now to the people to decide. What specifically will happen with this amendment? First of all, if you vote yes, you reject the amendment that I had quoted earlier that protects the right to life, and you replace it with something that says provision may be made by law for the regulation of termination of pregnancy. Well, regulation of termination, scarcely you regulate it, but you don't prohibit it. It's like saying, well, you can have an abortion, but you have to have the abortion done by a doctor, or you have to have it done in a hospital, or you have to have the formal consent of the woman whom it's being done upon. But I could see any attempt to limit abortion under this would be successfully challenged by a shrewd barrister by saying prohibition is not regulation. Regulation simply is the conditions under which it can happen, but it's not prohibition. So that could be a very major problem, and I would think a good reason for the people to vote no.
Yeah. Now, it would appear, anyway, from what we read, see, and listen to from Ireland, that there is a split, that the older generation, including, if not supported by Catholics, would indeed be expected to vote no. And then as you come to the next generation and indeed what is referred to as the millennials, that they're of the opinion that a woman, a mother has in fact the right to decide whatever she wants to do. Can you just give us the guts, maybe, of the Roe versus Wade law in the United States, which forever and a day would have changed here the approach towards legalized abortion?
The Roe versus Wade decision overthrew existing laws that had been passed by many of the state legislatures against abortion. It did allow some regulation or some limitation, but that has gradually been worn down so that now, some states, abortion can happen right up until the day before the baby is born. So that's what's in the mind of a lot of people who are very fearful of a yes victory in Ireland. It will not just be the few hard cases which they love to allude to. Women who in many ways might be allowed an abortion under the present situation if the mother's life is in danger or if something like that. So I think maybe what they're afraid is going to open the door. And in fact, some of the champions of abortion, some very, very liberal champions, and some are TDs from some independent parties, they're champions that the woman should have absolute mastery over her own body.
Yeah.
Well, theoretically, that could mean that if a woman decides that the child that she's bearing is of, say, a different sex than the sex she wants for the next child, she can abort the child. That's very common in many Asian countries. And I can see it happening in Europe and in Ireland. There'd be no limitation to it.
In your much copied article, with respect to your laying out, and it's an extremely clear campaign, really. You set out in plain language, you're obviously, as we would be here, and most Catholics would be, against abortion, but in your article you really lay out the pros and the cons. A very striking poster that accompanies your article is, it says, in Britain 90% of babies born with Down syndrome are aborted. Now that hits pretty close to home for many of us, yes, Catholics, but I think across the board, this becomes a very, very personal situation.
Along the same lines, Adrian, in some of the Scandinavian countries, the past few years, there have been no Down syndrome births.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's abortion.
Okay. That now it is predicted by many, indeed, particularly on our side of the Atlantic here, that this one will breeze through, considering that Ireland was the first country to pass the law and to endorse same-sex marriage. Does it have this time, does that have the same kind of connotation?
I don't think so, because partly allowing the same-sex marriage, you're not hurting anybody. I mean, theoretically, you might be if you're opposed to it, but it's not like this is which is going to allow unborn babies to be terminated. So the opposition to the same-sex marriage it didn't have, I think, the same strong feeling that opposition to this will have. In addition, there wasn't as much organized opposition to that amendment. It got through pretty easily. This one, they seem, while they think it will pass, they're beginning to hedge their bets a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, there was some labor union that gathered in Ireland yesterday. I can't remember now what the union was, but some members wanted to endorse the amendment, and some opposed it, and the union voted not to discuss it at all.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign that the pro-abortion, the anti-abortion people, the pro-abortion people have to deal with working class people who don't like it as well.
Yeah.
Not just the people in the country. It's also working people in the cities and all.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about what many of us would perceive that, wait a minute, this is a Catholic Church influenced vote coming up tomorrow. Is it a Catholic influence vote we're looking at here?
Well, it's hard to say that because the no vote, no has been supported, opposition has been supported by the two leading bishops of the Church of Ireland in Dublin and in the north, in Armagh. It's been opposed by the Irish Jewish community. It's been opposed by the Irish Muslim community. It's been opposed by the Presbyterians. It's been opposed by the Methodists. So
yeah.
it's scarcely a Catholic thing.
Yeah, and I think that's it's good to point that out, that this is not just one more Catholic Church opportunity, you know, to criticize the Catholic Church and its recent history, which has mostly been very negative.
Right, right. Yeah. A lot of the scandals that the Church had to encounter and had to endure and indeed even put up with is what has caused people to be, in some cases, hostile towards it. But it's scarcely an exclusively Catholic thing. It's virtually every religion
yeah.
in Ireland is opposed to this.
John McCarthy, let me ask you about what has been a reality in Ireland, and that is that any woman who chooses abortion, all they have to do is hop across the pond to Britain and to England, and that's it. So is that a political issue which is being used at the moment, saying, listen, it's not as if the abortion issue, that the outcome is any different? Somebody who wants an abortion can get one, and they don't have to go halfway around the world.
That's true. They can go to England. You know, it's sort of unpleasant to have to make the trip over there and have it done. However, I suppose abortion was allowed in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling a lot of them who would want it would still go to England, because I doubt if the Irish medical profession is up to taking on all these abortions. It has done a magnificent job, the doctors, in both saving mothers and saving newborn who might be ill. But for them to have to now take on the burden of performing abortions, even if they start doing it, it might take away from their ability to make effective and safe deliveries of ill children.
Now, as against that, you have many situations in Ireland where the choice was, as the mother was about to deliver, that it was going to be, choosing between the life of the mother or the life of the unborn. There have been many incidents, and a couple in particular, that have, had some disastrous results in the fact that that the doctors attending the about to be delivered baby outright just refused to do it. And some would say, well, yeah, but they weren't allowed to do it. And many others would say, wait a minute, even if they were, they weren't going to do it anyway.
The one case that comes to mind is a case in Galway where a woman was, I think, 3 months advanced, and her family asked for a termination because she had attracted an infection. I can't think of the exact medical term, but and there was some uncertainty upon the doctors as to whether she really needed to have the termination. And the thing was very advanced, and the woman died. That was a terrible mistake, and the doctor should have known what was happening.
Yeah.
They should have taken whatever action was necessary to save the mother. There's no doubt there probably have been instances like that, but there have been terrible instances accompanying the performance of abortions in England, too.
Yeah.
Where the mother dies, is not properly cared for.
Yeah, and of course... again, without politicizing the issue, the great fear, and those who are heading for the polls this coming Friday, is that if you open the door just a crack, it can be blown wide open. And something comes to mind which is very real, in that, you know, there would be special consideration for mothers, for those who would be perhaps genuinely contemplating suicide. That's a you know, that's a rough one to tackle.
Well, actually, technically, that is allowable now in Ireland. Abortion can be performed on a woman who has been determined as suicidal.
Mm.
That had been put into the existing rules. So.
Anyway, we'll know.
Now, again, you might wonder, you know, sometimes many doctors might come to the conclusion of suicidal when it really may not be the case. But
yeah. Okay, politically in Ireland with the you know, with the coalition government, has this a tendency to be like a political football, or are they kind of low key?
Well, the leaders of the two major parties, the Taoiseach Bhreactor and the leader of Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin,
mm-hmm.
they are for yes. However, a substantial amount of the elected Fianna Fáil members, TDs and senators, mm. They're opposed. And then there's a few very outspoken independents, a couple
yeah.
of colorful brothers here in Kerry, the Healy Ray brothers are very very much no, and in Manny McGraw from Tipperary are very no. But there is a substantial number of the Fianna Fáil people are, I think, a little bit uncomfortable with Micheál Martin. Now, mm. in Fine Gael, the most outspoken no person in Fine Gael is the former Taoiseach, John Bruton. He is unspoken in his opposition to this, although his brother, who is the Minister of Education, is a yes man.
We'll see how it turns out. I want to talk about the McCarthys, and I want to talk about you were and are considered here to be not afraid of controversy with respect to the ongoing attitude of many here in America who figured that Professor John McCarthy is consistently stirring the pot with respect to in Northern Ireland, and in fact, you were at the forefront during your time here. I'm not saying that you're gone. You spent a lot of time here and a lot of time in Kerry. But a workable solution for Northern Ireland. What's your view with respect to the current situation in Northern Ireland? The fact that in Northern Ireland there effectively is no local government. There's everything is at an impasse up there.
Yeah, I think it's very unfortunate. Why the two major parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP, can't come together. Fair play to both Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness. They mm-hmm. they were able to overcome all their past differences, and things were working pretty smoothly, whatever has happened. One thing I would suggest is that the Sinn Féin party would do themselves and Ireland, and particularly their own constituents in Northern Ireland, an awful lot of good were they to take the seats they're elected to in Westminster. And, you know, they might be able to do a lot more for what they want. As it is now, the DUP are providing the ruling government with the necessary votes to stay in power. Sinn Féin might be able to use the power that constitutional nationalists had done even prior to independence in influencing the British government.
Okay, give equal...
But, again, there's so many other... And the other complicated issue is this whole Brexit thing.
Right.
That's to go into that, we need another hour.
Oh, need another hour. Though I tell you, John McCarthy hasn't changed much there, so I'm going to drag you in, my friend John McCarthy, into saying that this is not all Sinn Féin. That, in fact, the DUP in Northern Ireland, it could be said, bears equal responsibility for the impasse.
Yes, of course. They put it this way. They're in the position now of being the make or break group, keeping the Tory government in power in London.
And
there are few votes that they have.
Yeah, well, the few votes that they have is what, in fact, keeping, the Prime Minister in power. So
I mean, if Sinn Féin were to take their seats that they were elected to, and if they have been able to meet the Queen and meet the Prince and all of that, I can't see why they can't take the seats they're elected to, and I think they'd serve their own constituents and the people of Northern Ireland much better.
Let me ask you on a personal level. You, as an Irish American, you and married to a very gracious and always lovely lady, your wife Catherine. Let me ask you about your decision upon retirement of spending a lot of time in Ireland without, severing your ties here in New York.
Yes. Well, I obviously couldn't sever my ties in New York because 15 of our 16 grandchildren live in New York. so that keeps me there a lot. But we're here. I guess you might almost half and half.
Yeah. And how did you wind up in Kerry to begin with?
Well, my parents are from Kerry.
Yeah.
And so I started coming to Kerry, and then my wife is from Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
And from, actually, to tell the truth, my wife was born in a farmhouse a mile away from the farmhouse where my father was born.
Okay.
Although we met in New York.
Yes. And how is the adjustment? When you go from, from New York to Kerry, do you find that it's a big transition, or do you consider yourself on holidays when you're in Ireland?
Not really. I consider it's my part of my regular life. I have the two different regular lives. One is in New York, and the other here is in Ireland. But I don't feel as though I'm gone to a strange place. I feel very much at home where I am here, as I am in New York, where I grew up and lived.
Yeah. Okay. We want to thank you, number one, for indeed joining us this morning, and also for your insight, which has always been indeed very welcome in our programs. And this might be a good time to thank you, indeed, through the decades now that we're on the road, as they say, in broadcasting for 48 years. I can often remember times when, in the midst of all kinds of concern and contentious issues with respect to Ireland, and for that matter in the United States, John McCarthy, our friend, was the person to indeed lay out many times an alternative position. I thank you for that. And
delighted to talk to you, Adrian, and to talk in your program.
Thank you. John McCarthy, dear friends, directly from Kerry. And again, a very noted historian, and somebody whose opinion is always valued. It doesn't mean, indeed, that everybody agrees with what he says and does, but you don't have to worry about where, in fact, he stands.
Okay.